Spain's heli ski operators struggled to attract business during a low snow year, and an update on the latest Haines Highway construction projects. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories and more are up next. 2019 has been a difficult year for heli skiing in Haines. Heli ski operators had their slowest season since the Hainesborough started keeping records on their flights into the backcountry. Heli ski businesses in Haines are allocated a certain number of ski days each season. Each ski day is equal to one client spending one day heli skiing. This year saw the fewest number of ski days since 2007. Scott Sundberg is the owner of Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures, also known as SEBA. His business used only about a third of its ski days this season.
The last couple years have not been very good snow years.
According to National Weather Service data, the Canadian border station on the Haines Highway normally records around 260 inches of snow annually. But for the last 2 years, the snowfall has been less than half of that. Sundberg says that many skiers are booking trips in the lower 48, Japan, and Canada, where there has been better snow recently. But snow isn't the only factor affecting heli ski operations. Sundberg says that the ski industry is spending less money on heli ski trips to film professional athletes. He also says that skiers are looking to find new areas.
People who have been to Haines to ski have skied the available terrain and over the years had hoped to come back and ski new terrain. That's one reaction we've gotten from our previous clientele.
Sundberg wants to offer more heli skiing on land near Haines, managed by the Bureau of Land Management, or BLM. Helicopter-supported recreation grew on these lands in the 1990s and early 2000s, but was reduced while Alaska Department of Fish and Game researched their noise impact to wildlife. Now BLM is considering an update to its management plan that could increase the number of helicopter recreation landing permits for previously buffered areas. BLM will hold a public meeting on its management plan at the Chilkat Center for the Arts on June 20th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha. If you spend time in Haines, it's likely you've seen the work out the highway or followed a pilot car through the construction. That's actually two road projects that Southeast Road Builders and SECON aim to finish up this season. Claire Strempel has an update on the construction.
Construction spending is projected to be up 10% statewide this year. All those yellow vests out the Haines Highway are part of close to $700 million in state road building spending in Alaska this year. The Haines Highway reconstruction is a public project, funded mostly by the federal government with some contributions from the state of Alaska. The two-season, 4-to-12-mile project is worth $36 million. The smaller 0-to-4-mile project is worth $6 million. The aim of the project is to widen and straighten the road so that it's safe for travelers going 55 miles an hour. Project engineer Bryce Iverson says both the 0-to-4-mile and 4-to-12-mile projects should be finished up before winter. SECON and Southeast Road Builders are sister companies whose parent company is Coalaska. Their work season runs from April to October. The 4-to-12-mile project began in 2018, and the 0-to-4-mile project began this year. Iverson says between both projects, on any given day, there are about 70 workers. More than half are Haines locals. He says about 20 are from elsewhere in Alaska and about 10 are from out of state. The workers who aren't from Haines end up spending locally on food and lodging. He estimates it will add up to about $800,000 over the duration of the project. In Haines, I'm Claire Strempel.
The Petersburg Indian Association has a new artifact in its collection, thanks to the sharp eye of local police chief Jim Kerr. The stone tool may be thousands of years old. Ari Snyder spoke with Kerr and others to hear how the unlikely discovery unfolded.
Kerr says he came across the artifact on the beach, totally by chance.
I was disposing of crab guts down at low tide, and while I was walking down there, I saw a rock sticking up and picked up the rock and thought it looked interesting.
Kerr said he's not supposed to say exactly where he found the artifact in the hopes of preventing people from looting that spot. Either way, he took it home, thinking it was just a funny-looking rock and that maybe he could put it to use as a paperweight. But on further investigation, Kerr found out it was most likely an ancient Tlingit artifact, a hand maul, to be precise. Forest Service archaeologist Jane Smith says it's hard to put an exact date on this specific piece, but based on the kind of tool it is, she estimates it could be up to several thousand years old.
So it would have been just held in your hand, and it was flattened on one end, and it had a lip on the top, so your hand wouldn't slip off the top. And then it was used mostly for woodworking.
Smith said this isn't the first Tlingit artifact found in the area, but added that coming across tools like this is not a common occurrence, mainly because there probably weren't very many of them to begin with.
These tools were hard to make, and they were part of a toolkit, and most of them end up in an archaeological deposit buried. But people lose things. They drop out of the canoe, and you're like, dang it.
Kerr says legally he was not allowed to keep the artifact. So he decided to give it to the Petersburg Indian Association rather than pass it on to the state or federal government.
Because if I turned it into the state or the feds, my biggest problem with that is that it might end up in Anchorage, it might end up in Fairbanks or someplace else when it was found in Petersburg, so it needs to stay in Petersburg.
PIA Tribal Administrator Tracy Welsh says she's thankful to Kerr for passing the hand maul along to the tribe, especially because a lot of found objects like this one end up in private collections.
It's been great for the tribe. People have been asking questions. We have it in the office. We're still looking for a proper display for it. We're just thankful to Jim for thinking of us, and we're excited to see it back, you know, with the tribe and where it belongs.
Welsh added that having the artifact on display has given members of the Native community a chance to connect with their history on Mitkoff Island.
We have a long history here, and so this is something that people from the community can come view whenever they want, and they can learn more about their heritage. So I think it's greatly important.
The PIA has some artifacts on loan from the Forest Service, but Welsh said the tribe has few, if any, objects like this one in its sole possession. Reporting in Petersburg, I'm Ari Snyder.
To see a picture of the hand maul, check out kfsk.org. For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also check out our podcast on the NPR One app and Stitcher.